Let's please turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews chapter 5. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1295. We'll read just one verse. That will be verse 12. Then we'll go on to another verse that's close by. And then yet another verse beside that. And shall we stand, please? All of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read the verse together. Verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read, please. Ready? For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's read that, please. Ready? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Turn now to Romans chapter 8. In your Schofield Bible, page 1202. We'll read that familiar 28th verse together. And let's read. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And let's pray. And Father, during the fleeting moments of this year, we can look back upon many good things. Thank you for 1995, for all the victories, defeats, laughter, tears. Thank you for the prospects of yet another year, a year in which Jesus could come, a year which needs to find us busy for Thee, fulfilling Thy will and purpose for each of our individual lives. Bless tonight the preaching, the service to follow. We need Thee, and we need Thee tonight. We pray for our preacher, grant him Thy power. Grant us each Holy Spirit power to do that which is pleasing to Thee. And we believe You'd be pleased for us to concentrate upon that which is being said by the man of God. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For those of you who could not tell, there was somebody behind the pulpit here. Jeanette was back here. I saw her. She was back here. And we asked her to come from the nursery tonight to sing for us. She's going right back to the nursery. And some of you folks laugh or go home. I'm tired of looking at you. I don't want to spend the last hours of my year looking at your sourpuss. But I'm going to do something tonight I rarely ever do. I guess whatever it is, it's got to be an improvement, huh? I'm going to use a thought. That's a new one. I hope you get old someday. I hope when you do, I'm young. Anyway, I'm going to use a thought that I used at the college. I rarely ever repeat a message I preach at the college here. However, a few weeks ago, I brought a message to the college that I felt like all of our people ought to hear. This will not be exactly the same message. It'll be a sort of a rearrangement of it, but it'll be the same truth that I presented at the college. I thought that the best time for me to do it is while most of our college students are gone, and this basically tonight is a drive-in crowd. And I want to speak tonight on this subject, and a very important subject, how to have a successful 1996. Now, I'll tell you the God's truth. If you have a successful 1996, if you succeed in 1996, it'll be because you do the three things I'm going to preach about tonight. And if you fail or do not succeed in 1996, It'll be because you do not do one or more of the three things I'm going to preach about tonight. I promise you, if you listen carefully what I'm going to say, and if you'll do what is preached from this pulpit, you will have a successful 1996. How to have a successful 1996. I'm going to use this microphone so I can, before I pray, I'm going to turn it on. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight as I come to the closing message of this great year. Around 20,000 people have walked the aisles in this service, this auditorium, professing faith in Christ as Savior. Multiplied thousands of others have walked the aisle, making special decisions other than those for salvation. Approximately 10,000 people have been baptized in 1995. What a wonderful year. And now we come to the close of that year. I pray tonight you'd help me to speak what our people need to succeed in 1996. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you first three words. I'll ask you not to take notes. I'd like for you to look at me and listen to me and let me talk to you personally. I'm going to give you three words that you must abide by in 1996 if you're successful. I'll spend the entire evening talking about those three words. Word number one is purpose. Word number two is potential. Word number three is principle or principles. Word number one is purpose. Word number two is potential, and word number three, principles. With them, we have the three causes of success. Without them, we have the three causes of failure. If you have purpose and potential and principles in 1996 or any other year, you will succeed. But if you're lacking in any one of these or more, purpose, potential, or principles, you will not succeed in 1996. I'm going to take about a few minutes to discuss each of the words and then go back and enlarge upon each one. But first, I want to take just a few minutes to tell you what these words mean. First, the word purpose. The word purpose is why a thing exists. This microphone here exists to amplify my voice, or the voice of whomever is speaking here, or singing. This pulpit here is to hold this Bible and to be used as an aid in preaching. The purpose of those pews where you are is to keep you comfortable while I preach. The purpose of me is to make you uncomfortable while you're comfortable in those pews. Now, everything has a reason it exists. That table right there exists because it is used with which to serve the Lord's Supper. So, the first word is the word purpose. Now, you're not going to succeed unless you find the purpose of God for your life. It's an old little outline that I use often. In fact, I used it Wednesday night where I was preaching out west. And I just simply make the statements. Number one, God had a job that he needed done. Number two, God made you to do that job. Number three, God needed somebody just like you. Number four, that is your purpose. Whatever God made you to do. Never has been anyone like you. There never will be anyone like you. There is no one now like you. You are a designer's model. You are an original. And God did not look down one day and see you wandering around on the earth and say, I wonder who he is. I better find something to keep that guy busy. He's going to get in trouble. No, God did not make the job for you. God made you for the job. And there was a purpose for your existence. Now, to whatever degree you find that purpose, to that degree you'll be starting on your way to success in 1996. I don't care how much money you make. If you don't fulfill the purpose for your existence, then you're not a success in life. I don't care how much popularity you achieve. I don't care how much fun you have. I don't care how much pleasure you enjoy.
if you're not doing the purpose for which God made you, you'll not succeed in 1996. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be fulfilling the purpose for my existence. And I'm convinced tonight that I am in the will of God, doing the will of God, fulfilling the purpose. I believe that God made me the pastor most of my life, and I have. I came here at the age of 32, and this is my 37th year. Most of my life, I pastored the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I think God looked down and saw that in 1959, He'd need somebody to pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And God said, I'm going to make exactly what they need. And God says they're going to need somebody 5'11 and 3/4 inches tall. And they're going to need somebody that weighs, and we'll go on to the next point. But God made me to pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, for these going on 37 years. Now, that's my purpose. I don't care who you are, how smart you are, how much fun you have, how wise you are, how educated you are, how wealthy you are. If you're not doing the thing that God has put you here to do, you are a flop 100%. Now, the second word, and I'm going to come back to purpose after a while. The second word is the word potential. Now, what is the word potential? The word potential means, are you doing all that you are capable of doing in the purpose that God has made you for? In other words, I could be pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, but I could not be giving my best. So not only must I find why I'm here and the purpose for my existence, but I am to reach my potential in the area for which God made me. I'm to find the purpose in life, and I'm to give it my best and give it my all so I can reach my potential in the purpose. I know a lot of folks tonight who are in the will of God but not doing the will of God. You're geographically where God wants you, but you're not doing what God wants you to do. And there's some folks tonight who are doing what God wants you to do, but not doing as much as God wants you to do where you are, even though you are in the purpose that God made, for which God made you. All right? I said in the first place, the first word is purpose. Are you doing what God made you to do? I said, are you doing what God made you to do? Second is the word potential. Are you doing your best? Are you reaching your full measure of success in the purpose of your life? And that's potential. Now, I want to be not only doing God's purpose, but I want to reach my potential in that purpose. I can't be the best preacher in the world, but I want to be the best preacher I can be. I can't be the best pastor in the world, but I want to be the best pastor I can be. And I want to fulfill God's purpose and fulfill my potential, not beat somebody, but be the best I can be in what God has called me to do. Number three, principles. Follow me carefully. Principle is that which keeps one on the road of purpose. Principles are the walls that keep you from getting outside of the purpose of God. I know some people that do the purpose of God and are giving the best they can, but they don't have principles, and those principles get them outside the purpose for which God made them. Now, principles are the boundaries that keep you in the purpose and keep you doing your best. Three things. I'm going to come back, so don't think I'm through. Three things. One is purpose. Are you doing what God put you here to do? Answer to yourself. Number two, are you reaching your potential in doing what God put you here to do? Number three, do you have principles in your life that keep you doing that purpose and not getting outside that purpose? Let me illustrate. Let's suppose I'm going to O'Hare Field. I've been there 3 or 4 times in my life. And every Monday just about, every week just about, in fact, I average more than once a week going to O'Hare Field, catch a plane. I'm going to O'Hare Field, all right? Now, my purpose is going to O'Hare Field. That's the purpose for that's what I'm going to do. The purpose is to go to O'Hare Field. I get in my car to go to O'Hare Field. I have a Mercury Cougar. And so I get my little Mercury Cougar, and I'm going to O'Hare Field. Now, that's my potential. You follow me? What's my purpose? Tell me out loud. Going where? Tell me out loud. Going where? O'Hare Field. I'm going to the airport. Say that. I'm going to the airport. Now, my potential is my what? Car. Say it. My potential is my what? Car. So now then, I'm going to O'Hare Field. I get myself on the toll road, and I get in my car. Now, I am fulfilling my purpose because I'm going to O'Hare Field. I have a potential. I have a car with which to go to O'Hare Field. Now then, follow me carefully. That's not enough. I need more than purpose. I need more than potential. I need some principles. Now let's suppose, for example, that I decide to go 90 miles an hour to O'Hare Field. And let's suppose when I get to the toll gates, I just keep on going and I don't pay any toll. Let's suppose when I come to a stoplight, I just go through on red, just like most you ladies do all the time. I come to a stop sign, and I just go, I barrel right through the stop sign. Now, I have the purpose, going where? To where? O'Hare Field. I have the principle. I have a what? Car. I mean, I have the potential. But the principles I have broken. So I run through a stop sign, or a stoplight, and a big truck comes along and broadsides me and destroys my car and takes me to heaven. Do I get to O'Hare Field? Yes or no? When I had a purpose, I was going to O'Hare Field. That's my purpose. And I had the potential to get there. But I did not have the principles that would allow me to get there and stay on the road safely to arrive at O'Hare Field. I know thousands of people in my own personal acquaintance who start out in the purpose that God has led them, the purpose for their existence, and they give it all they've got, but they don't have enough character to abide by principles. And they break the principles by which you've got to live to stay on the road to success. And you listen to me, I don't care who you are, you're not going to be successful in 1996 unless you have some principles that you live by. I rarely ever make decisions. I have some principles, and my principles make my decisions for me. So let me go back again. The first word I used was the word what? Talk to me. The word what? Purpose. And the word a purpose is I'm going where? To O'Hare Field. The second word I gave was the word what? Potential, and the potential was my what? Car. And the third word I used was what word? Principles. And I didn't have enough principle to keep the speed limit. How about you? Anyway, I didn't have enough principle. Jack Scott says that you can hitchhike faster to O'Hare Field than you can go with me in the car because I keep the speed limit. One of my favorite stories is Keith McKinney's. Keith McKinney was in a car with his wife driving to Chicago. They're going down Dan Ryan Expressway. And they're doing some road work there, and for a little time there, there's only one lane. But they're going real slowly. And Lynn McKinney said to Keith, said, honey, what's wrong? He said some old coot up there is crawling. So when they got past the road work, he passed the old coot. I was the old coot. But now I'm saying that my principles will keep me from fulfilling my purpose and reaching my potential. And I'm talking to a lot of people tonight who are doing what God wants you to do, and you have the potential to be a success at it, but you haven't got enough character to live by principles, and one of these days you're going to have a wreck, and you're going to waste your life and not reach your potential. Why? Because you didn't have principles by which you live. Now, some people tonight are failing in God's purpose. He has made you for one purpose and you're living for another. Or perhaps He can, by the way, perhaps He can still use you. If you have forfeited your right to do the original purpose, no doubt God can still use you. If He'll create a new purpose for you, but if He does, don't blow it again. But I'm saying, there are people not in this room. You don't give a flip whether you're doing what God put you here to do. And you don't care. As long as you can have fun. As long as you can live somewhere close enough to where you can go fishing all you want to. And as long as you get old enough, you can retire and go somewhere selfishly without any consideration about the will of God. That's one reason I don't plan to retire. I plan to preach as long as I can crawl to this pulpit. I plan to pastor this church as long as I got enough sense to do it. I'm not going to retire. You say, why? God didn't put me here to play shuffleboard in Florida. God put me here to pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. People say, well, I'm going to move down south. I like the weather. So do I. I was preaching in Moreno Valley, California. Took Miss Howells with me. We stayed in Palm Springs. About 35, 40 minutes drive from Moreno Valley. I've never seen anything like Palm Springs in my life. Anybody here been to Palm Springs? Doesn't it remind you of Sibley Street here? I mean, the only thing in common, it has cars on both places. But not the same kind of cars, let me tell you for sure. We stayed on Frank Sinatra Boulevard. He and I played golf together. So we're going to go out there and start a church in Palm Springs. That's your logic. I'm getting a raise in pay, so I'm going to move somewhere else. You have no right to do that. I'm getting a promotion, so I'm going to go somewhere else. You have no right to do that. I'm getting old. I don't like this climate. You have no right to do that. You only have a right to do and fulfill the purpose that God, for which God made you. That's the only right you have. God didn't put you here to make a buck. God didn't put you here to have fun. God put you here for a purpose. In God's name, find it and do it. And don't let climate, don't let money, don't let position, don't let promotion cause you to do anything other than the thing that God put you here to do. Others are in the purpose of God, but you're not reaching your potential. You're on the right road, but barely moving. You're at the right place, but not giving your best. You're in God's will, but not doing God's will. Now, let me tell you something. Far too much is said in the Christian life about being in the will of God, and far too little is said about doing the will of God. I can tell you missionaries all over this world, they're squatting right in the middle of God's will for their life, and they're geographically, boy, this is good. They're geographically right in the center of God's will for their lives, but they're not doing a solitary thing. I wouldn't give you a dime for a missionary who goes in the will of God. I don't care if he gives up his country. I don't care if he gives up his home. I don't care if he gives up his family. God didn't send you there to be there. God sent you there to reach your potential and be your best wherever you are. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers tonight. God's purpose is for you to teach a Sunday school class, but you're not giving your best. I'm talking to staff members in our ministry here. Maybe the church, maybe the schools in our ministry here. You're doing what God put you here to do, but you're not giving your best. You're not reaching your potential. Brother, in 1996, I want to be where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do, and I want to do it the best that Jack Hiles can do it. On the other hand, there are those who will fail this year because you're not doing God's purpose. There are those that will fail this year because you're doing God's purpose but not reaching your potential within the circumference of that purpose. Then there are others tonight who are doing God's purpose. You're giving it your best, but you're allowing your lack of principles to derail you. Years ago, and this is old hat to you, but I won't explain it. Years ago, as a kid preacher, 21 years of age, I made 5 decisions. About 3 o'clock in the morning, on my knees in the pine thickets of East Texas, I made 5 decisions. Those 5 decisions have determined my ministry. They're the principles that have kept me on the right track. A lot of people get on a horse and ride off in all directions. They don't stay on the road. And they start doing what they're supposed to do and give it all they've got. But before you know it, because of a lack of principle, they're derailed. I made five decisions. And those five decisions have made my decisions for me for these almost 50 years. Decision number one, I made a decision that money would never be an issue in my ministry. And I want to thank you for helping me fulfill that. Money, I made God a promise. I'll never discuss money. I'll never ask for a certain amount of money. If somebody offers me a certain amount of money to preach for him, I will not preach for him. Jerry Falwell, seven years ago, he wrote me and said, if you'll come and preach five nights for me, I'll give you $10,000. I'll put you on nationwide television five times, give you $10,000. If you'll come and preach five nights, I wrote back and said, no way, you can't buy me off. $15,000 or nothing. But now, wait a minute. I made a decision. Money will never help. Let me ask you a question. If tonight I told you that I was going to leave here because I was getting an increase in pay, you wouldn't have any confidence in me. Well, if you leave here because you're getting an increase in pay, I don't have any confidence in you. Who made a double standard? Who gives you a right to go somewhere for money and I don't go somewhere for money? Who gives you a right to go somewhere for climate and I don't have a right to do it? I'm trying to say our God knows no double standard. Money was never an issue. I made a promise to God. Money would never be an issue. Promise number two. Nobody would interfere with my preaching. 50 years ago, nearly, I made that promise to God. In fact, it was 48 years ago. I made that promise to God. Nobody will ever meddle with my preaching. Nobody will ever tell me what to preach. Nobody will ever tell me when to preach. Nobody will ever tell me where to preach. And nobody will ever tell me how long to preach. And tonight, I've got 3 hours and 50 minutes. And I just may call off that stupid video. But I'm saying this, I made a promise to God. Now, that's a principle. I have lived with the principle, number one, money will never be an issue. Number two, nobody will meddle with my preaching. Number three, I made a decision 50 years ago, nearly 48 years ago, that I would base my decisions in life on principles and not expediency. In other words, is it right or is it wrong? It'll not be, what do I get out of it? Is it right or is it wrong? If somebody could tell me a plan where I could get the whole world saved, but I'd have to do wrong to get the whole world saved, I wouldn't do it. God is a God of justice. And God will not go against His justice to save the world. His justice says that sin must be paid for. And His justice said, if that sin is not paid for, a person will spend eternity in hell. But His mercy said, I'll pay the debt. But bless God, the debt had to get paid. And God is so just, He let His own Son, God incarnate, come to earth and dip His soul into hell. I made decision number one. Principle number one. What is this principle? It's a principle to keep me doing God's purpose and reaching my potential as I do. Decision number two. First, one, money. Two, preaching. Three, principle decisions on the basis of right and wrong. Four, I'll be loyal to principles and not to institutions. I will not pledge my loyalty to Hiles Henderson College. If Hiles Henderson College keeps on believing what I believe the Word of God teaches, I'm loyal to Hiles Henderson College, but I'm not loyal to the college. I'm loyal to the principles of a college that embraces those principles. There are colleges I used to support. I won't support anymore. When they decide to use other Bibles other than the King James Bible, I'm sorry, but no longer. I'll kick them out. No longer. I'm saying I'll be loyal to principles, but not to institutions. Principle number one, money will never be an issue. Principle number two, nobody will meddle with my preaching. Principle number three, decisions on the basis of right and wrong. Principle number four, loyal to principles, but not to institutions. Principle number five, I'll be a friend to my friends. Now those five principles have been used as sideboards to keep me from veering off of the purpose of my life. Purpose? Why did God put me here? Potential? I'll find it. Why God put me here and give it my best. And bless God, I'm going to give it my best in 1996. Why don't you decide to quit piddling around with that Sunday school class? Why don't you decide to quit playing around with that bus route? Why don't you decide to quit piddling around about serving God? Why don't you decide whatever God's given you to do, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So, we came to Hammond. Follow me carefully now. When a wealthy man called me out in the front and said, the wealthy people in this church are sick and tired of the bus ministry. Hear me carefully now. And he said, we're sick and tired of these little dirty bus kids running around here ruining our church. Brother, dirty bus kids haven't ruined one-tenth as many churches as a bunch of Pharisee wealthy people to ruin. And Mr. Big Buck said, if they stay, I go. Now, wait a minute. You say, Brother Howells, what decision did you make? None. None. Principle number one made my decision for me. When I got over there to Isha, they said, we're the people that finance this church. I'd like to tell all those rich people, those that are living and those that are wherever they are tonight who died, I'd like to tell them all, bless God, that we stuck with the bus kids and May the 1st we'll be debt free. There's a God in heaven, brother, and that God is able to take care of His people. I'm saying that, listen, you wouldn't be here tonight, most of you, if I had not lived by that principle. Now you listen to me. I am no more responsible to God for living by principles than you are. And I've got as much right to sell out for a buck as you do. Now, I've got for as much right to sell out for prestige and promotion as you do. You say, I bet you're preaching to me. I bet I am. Because I love you. I'm trying to shake some sense in your head and give you some character to live by a principle and not by the almighty dollar. So, principle number one came into effect. I did not make a decision. My principles did. The bus kids stayed. The rich people left. But I stayed on my purpose. And I stayed reaching my potential in my purpose. Because the fence and the barrier of principles kept me from going away from principles. Then the deacons, one of the deacons said, this is old hat to you, he said, the deacons, some of us, are not pleased with your preaching. He said, could we have a meeting to discuss your preaching? And I said, yes, and you know the story. They said, could we have it Monday night? I said, sure. In the Francis classroom, yes, 7 o'clock, that's good. They called me about 7:30, said, where are you? I said, I'm home. Where'd you call? He said, you said we could have a meeting to discuss your preaching. I said, you can. But I'm not going to show up. You can have one every Monday night. Well, you said, Brother Howells, when did you decide? I decided 48 years ago. My principles make my decisions for me. And Brother, America is dying tonight. We haven't got anybody in the White House that's got any principles. We have very few in Congress that have any principles. We have very few on the Supreme Court. If anybody has any principles, America needs an old-fashioned revival of living by principles again. So in came principle number two. Nobody had met with my preaching. Then, Ms. Howells and I were invited to eat in the home of the wealthiest member of the church. The wife asked me if I was going to join a ministerial association. Enter principle number three. I will base my decisions on right or wrong. Now somebody said, "Brother Hounds, if you had just joined a ministerial association and those rich people could have given one Sunday, that same family gave $50,000 to the church. Brother Hounds, if you'd kept those rich people and they could have given the money to the church, you could have sent missionaries all around the world. You're not supposed to ever do wrong to get a chance to do right." Principle number three. Then, got a call from Indianapolis. The church was American Baptist. A fella called me from Indianapolis. He said, "I'm the executive secretary of the state convention." "Don't blame me for it, son. You can confess your sins at the altar. This church decided to pull out of the American Baptist Convention like every single American Baptist church ought to do." We had a discussion one night about it, and the big fellow from Indianapolis came up and brought his sidekick Tonto with him. Enter principle number four. I will be loyal to principles and not institutions. Then, most hated preacher in this church in 1959 was a man named John R. Rice. Dr. Rice was the most hated preacher in America at that time. He had been through some serious battles of attacks. And Dr. Rice's crowds were down. But Dr. Rice was the best preacher friend that I ever had in the world. Here I am at a church that didn't like Dr. Rice. Inner principle number five. The first preacher that preached behind this pulpit after I became pastor of this church was named Dr. John R. Rice. You say, "Brother Hiles, you should have waited until your church got for him." Brother, I am his friend whether the church is against him or for him. Principle number five. Now, I believe, hear me carefully, I believe that for 36 years and 4 months, I have been fulfilling the purpose of God for my life. That's purpose. I believe with all of my heart that I have given it my best. Not as good as others could have, but the best I could do it. I believe that as near as possible I have been in the purpose of God for my life, and I have been doing my best to reach my potential in that purpose. I likewise believe that I have lived by my principles for these years. It has not made me popular, but that's not one of my principles. My principles have been the protecting boards keeping me inside the purpose so I could fulfill my potential inside the purpose of God. I'm talking to folks tonight all over this building that are not interested in the purpose of God for your life. And I'm talking to other people tonight all over this building that are interested in being in the purpose of God, but you're not giving it your best or reaching your potential. And I'm talking to hundreds of other people tonight who have not enough character to keep yourself on the road. Look, I'm talking about a young man. In the will of God for his life. Howells Anderson College. On the staff at Howells Anderson College. One of the most outstanding young leaders I've ever met in my life. But he left his principles. Or didn't have any. Started flirting around with a student at Howells Anderson College and then left his wife for that girl. Now he's outside the purpose, not fulfilling his potential. Why? Because he didn't have principles to keep him on the right road the rest of his life. Now what you better do, ladies and gentlemen, and especially young people, you better get you some principles. And you live and die by them. Because without those principles, you are not going to fulfill the purpose of God for your life or fulfill the potential that you have to reach that purpose. I believe that 95% of you, hear me carefully, 95% of you would not be here tonight if Dr. Jack Hiles had not lived in the purpose for his life. And 95% of you would not be here tonight if Dr. Jack Hiles hadn't given his best to reach his potential for these 36 years and 4 months. And not 95% of you would not be here tonight if Dr. Jack Hiles had not lived by those principles that kept him bound to the road of purpose so he could do his best. I'll close with this. I'm thinking of a family that I pastored years ago. They had 4 boys. Hear me carefully. They had 4 sons. All 4 sons surrendered their lives to the gospel ministry. Son number 1 never went into the ministry. Walked the aisle, surrendered their life, the call of God, said God had called him, but decided not to be a preacher. What did he do? He missed his purpose. Just like some of you are. Some of you folks came to Howells Henderson College and God called you to preach, but you're not doing it. You're out of the purpose. Son number 2. Son number 2 took the pastorate. Never reached his potential. He could have been a great pastor. Never reached his potential. And quit the pastorate. What's that? Lack of potential. Son number 1, missed the purpose. Son number 2, missed his potential. Son number 3. Son number 3 became a pastor and a very successful one. But he didn't have principles by which to live. After a while, he got off. He divorced his wife. He's out of the ministry. Some little para-church ministry now, doing almost nothing for God. Number 1, wrong purpose. Number 2, lack of potential. Son number 3, not enough principles to keep him in the road of the purpose that God had for him. Son number 4, a successful pastor. Found the purpose of God, gave it his all, and lived by principles. And tonight, he's a successful pastor. 4 sons represent this crowd tonight. Son number 1 refused to do the purpose of God for his life. Son number 2 did the purpose of God but refused to give it all his best and reach his potential. Son number 3 gave it his best in the purpose of God but didn't have enough character to stay on the road. And son number 4 had purpose, potential, and principle. And for these many years has been a successful pastor. In 3 hours and 33 minutes, we begin again. 3 hours and 33 minutes, we start over again. A wealthy man said this to me. A man who's my friend and a man who's invested a lot of money in our ministry here. He said, Dr. Hiles, I want to talk to you seriously for a few minutes. He said, I believe in your ministry. He said, I believe that a dollar invested in First Baptist Church of Hammond or Hiles Anderson College is the best investment a man can make in the Lord's work. And by the way, I agree with him. He said, there's one thing I'm concerned about. You'll be 70 years of age next September 25th. When do you plan to retire? And I said, I don't plan to retire. He said, how long do you think you can keep going? I said, check with me on my 80th birthday and I'll give you a little hint. He almost shouted. He almost shouted. Because he wanted to have a place where he could invest his money. Where somebody was doing the purpose of God. Reaching potential and living between the boundaries of principles. Next time I saw him, he told me he shouted most of the day. Most of the day. Because he was afraid that the best investment he had for the Lord's money in the world would go under if I retired. And he said, praise the Lord. I was afraid you'd retire. And what I'm going to do, folks, is get his money. Then I'm going to retire to Palm Springs, where I'm going to start my Deeper Life Church. It's going to be a little building. It seats about 100 people. We're going to only have 100 members. They're all going to be rich. Right outside the window of my study is going to be a creek where bass are jumping up, begging to bite all the time. Outside the other window, 18-hole par, 72 golf course. That's not for me. That's not for me. Because I want to go to heaven fulfilling the purpose of my existence. And I want to go to heaven reaching my potential in that purpose. And I want to go to heaven within the boundaries of principles that will keep me from having a wreck on the way to the airport. Purpose, airport. Potential, car. But no principles. And I'm talking to people all over this house tonight. They're going to have some wrecks. And you'll never fulfill the purpose that God has called you to, alleged you, or made you for. And you'll never give your potential, reach your potential. Because you don't have enough principles. You can't keep your hands off of her. You Howells Anderson young men, pardon me, young males. You can't keep your... Get you some principle and say, I'll kiss her the first time at the altar and let that be your guide. So when you walk down the aisle to kiss her, you'll kiss her the very first time. And then God can use you fulfilling His purpose, reaching your potential. But you're going to have some principles that keep you on the road. Where are you tonight? Purpose. Potential. Principles. You have all three of these in 1996 and you cannot fail. You have two or less of these in 1996 and you cannot succeed. For all three are essential to your success. Purpose, potential, principles. Would you bow your heads, please? No one is moving or leaving. Where are you tonight? Did you see yourself tonight? Did you see yourself not fulfilling the purpose for your existence? Did you see yourself in that purpose but not giving it your all? Is your problem purpose or is your problem potential? Lack of purpose or lack of potential? Or tonight, did you see yourself on the way to the airport in a car that could get you there, but not enough principle to arrive safely?